Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Gary Armley inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Holy Spirit, would you just fall in this place even stronger this morning? And for those who are watching online, right where they're at in their living room, wherever they're sitting, Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, we just need more of you. And even as I bring this message this morning, Holy Spirit, about you, would you just fall on the hearts of people? Holy Spirit, break through our set mindsets about you. Holy Spirit, break through into our midst. Lord, this is a new season. We're climbing that mountain. And Lord, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. So I just invite you to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit a little bit this morning. Could have guessed that, right? Galatians 5:25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Are we living by the Spirit? I can't answer for you. I think I am some of the time. I've had seasons where I've lived in His Spirit more and seasons where I haven't. But I'm becoming so aware of the fact that we need to live in Him and we need His leading in every part of our lives. Zach, wonderful testimony. Holy Spirit drops in a young adult meeting and impacts your life. For those watching online who maybe don't watch, it's not just coughing. Zach has been in a battle with cancer, and we're believing for total healing. Complete, total healing. Amen? So that was a huge testimony. And Dorman, just the way you minister, being led by the Holy Spirit. And I know that's many of us in here, but it needs to be all of us, me also. Last week, Pastor Jay delivered a wonderful sermon that we're sent ones. That's got to penetrate deeper, that we're sent ones, that we are to release hope daily and pursue one yearly, is the line he ended with. In Luke 24:26, Jesus makes this statement before he ascends into heaven. And these are scriptures that we have read over, but I want you to hear them with a new ear, because the disciples were being set up for more. And we're being set up for more. But in order to go into that more, we have to apprehend the Holy Spirit on a whole new level. He's been wanting to come in. But we have a religious mindset, whether you want to hear that or not. I want to say it's true. I say it about myself, because I think it has to go a certain way. It's going to go totally different. It is going to be people being healed in Sam's, people being healed in different places that we would never think God would show up. I remember hearing the testimony just recently. Bill Johnson talked about one of their students who went into, he got called for jury duty. This is in my notes, I'm off already. He was called to jury duty. And when he walked into the room where they select the jury, he sees a man in a wheelchair. And he walks across the room and he says, I see that you need healing. He laid hands on them and the guy got out of the wheelchair. Well, he wreaked havoc in that room. Let me tell you, everybody else that was sick got healed that day too. Just someone bold enough to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, in a government facility. Right? So Holy Spirit, we want that bold faith that that young man carried. So he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So the promise is the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 16, and 19, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. So he's our counselor. To be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. How we need that today to discern what's truth and what's a lie. The world cannot accept him, but it never sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And the last one is John 15, 26. Jesus said again, speaking of the Holy Spirit, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit is a distinct personality and was given for a specific purpose to the church. He's the one that leads and governs the church. He's the administrator. He runs the church on earth. Right? Thank you, Becca. We can't function without him. Now, I want to say, in North America, we do a really good job of programming. And most churches can run without the Holy Spirit because we got it all programmed. Not here. But there's lots of places it is. Three songs, sermon, some prayer, we go home. But there's no space for the Holy Spirit. So what if this morning the Holy Spirit came in so hard that more people got healed and people got slain in the Spirit and I never got to preach? That would have been perfectly fine. In fact, that would have been much better, right? And a day will come. And then we need the Word too. But God will make room for that. The Holy Spirit is the comforter who comforts us in difficult times. I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to be without the Holy Spirit. Because when you hit that spot where you're just struggling and you're feeling lonely or depression is knocking at your door, and it knocks at my door, I go sit with the Lord. So I'm not receiving you. You're an enemy. But the Holy Spirit comforts and the Holy Spirit brings peace. And so that's in my personal life, your personal life. He's the one that draws us into an intimate relationship with the Father and with Jesus. So we need him on that level. He's the one that brings us peace when there's such turmoil. And if you watch a lot of news right now, you're going to find your spirit man in turmoil, or your soul, I should say, in turmoil. So be careful. We have to turn our hearts to him, and he guides and directs. But not only that, as we obediently yield to him, in our difficult times, he forms fruit in our lives. And I believe over the last probably 4 years, God's been forming a lot of fruit in our lives, of peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, joy, all of those that we need to give away to the world around us as we go out. As the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit reveals the mind of God as he fulfills the will of God for mankind. He also expresses the emotions of God in his relationship to his people. The Holy Spirit's come to reveal Jesus to us. And he uses emotions to do it. And I remember just not too long ago listening to a teaching, and the speaker said, do you know the emotions of the Holy Spirit when he walks into the room? What mood he's in? I don't know about you. I had to stop for a minute and think, do I know the emotions of the Holy Spirit when he walks into the room? Is he full of joy? Is he grieved? Is he happy? Is he sad? I have to say, I don't know. I don't know if many do. This person did. But I said, Lord, I want to learn. I want to know what mood you're in when you walk beside me into a store. Like, what are you wanting to do? I want to know what you're doing. I want to know what you feel. If we're sent ones, then we have an example in front of us, and that's Jesus. Wedding feast at Cana. He was happy. Right? Not because he was drunk, but he wanted to meet the needs of a young couple who were going to be shamed. And his mother petitioned him, and at first he said no, and then I believe he talked to the father. And the father said, I want some joy in that room and happiness. And it came, right? The best wine saved for last. Obedience to the Holy Spirit is key to abundant, victorious living. And Sean, you talked about it. It's called surrender. When he says, give your prophet, which he did to you for a while, to Titian Ministries. You surrendered. I'm sure you had other things you could think of doing, but you surrendered, and God began to open doors financially for you. There is a method that God works in. As we learn to walk in understanding of his word and in obedience to the word, there will come a new level of maturity that God intended for us to walk in. We're supposed to walk like Jesus. And we can quote it all we want, but if you're honest, I'm not walking like Jesus. I'm wanting to more and more, but I'm not there yet. Are you? Yet the word says, greater things than these we will do. And I believe we've entered that season. But we have to be willing, and we have to begin to pull on this. The disciples were born again in the upper room. They received the Holy Spirit when Jesus walked through the wall. That was their new birth. And the Holy Spirit forms that new birth in all of us. And he breathed on them. It's John 20:21. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. But that's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In order to go in power as sent ones, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the Great Commission is the responsibility to do what Jesus did. It's a responsibility. And the church over the last probably maybe 50 years has gotten away from that. We come in here, we do church, and we go home, and we live life. Right? And how often do we actually think about the Holy Spirit in a day? As we're going through our day. How often do we ask him, show me how to do this. Show me how to walk. Show me who to greet. Show me, you know, who to speak to when I'm in a store. Like, are we conscious of the fact that he's there and he wants to speak to us on a much greater level than we've known? He's in us for our sake, but he's upon us for the world's sake. And so the more he's upon us, the more we're going to release him. If we're sent once, we have to want to release him. That means digging in deeper and getting closer to him. He taught the disciples what to do. Then the disciples made disciples and taught them what to do, and on it went. They were powerful, and they were witnesses. The power of the gospel is able to completely save, heal, and deliver a person. That person, and Pastor Jay kind of talked about that, that person, because somebody prayed, is impacted, that affects the whole family. In my family, it was my mom. She first got saved. Then she began storming heaven for all of us. We all got saved. Out of my family, my lineage, is Pastor Jay. My oldest son is beginning to move forward in the Lord in a powerful way and will impact lives both here and overseas. If my mother hadn't accepted the Lord, it would have been totally different. And so it affects one person, then a family, then a neighborhood. Now think of it, if we were functioning like the Holy Spirit and the early church functioned. I mean, people wanting you to lay hands on them because there's an anointing on your life that heals people, like on Peter. So it wasn't Peter's shadow that healed. It was what overshadowed Peter that healed. And that was the Holy Spirit and the glory. And so when he walked along, the glory fell on people to such a point they were bringing them from all over to be healed. So what if people start driving into your neighborhood and laying people on your lawn so you come out and pray for them? Because you're so overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Why can't we imagine? Why can't we believe? Isn't that what Jesus gave us? And I'm talking to me too, so it's not happened in my life, but I sure wanted to. It's about being witnesses wherever we go. It's about being sent ones wherever we go. It's about representing Jesus wherever we go. It's about representing him. Let's represent, representing him wherever we go. Do they see Jesus in us? In Acts 1, Jesus promises them the Holy Spirit, 1:8. They're told to go back to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit comes in our new birth, but then we go on a journey and then we receive the baptism. The Father knew that for us to walk as Jesus, we needed the baptism of fire. They would wait in the upper room for 10 days, and when they went in, they were a divided bunch. There was probably 500 of them. In the end, there were 120. I believe there was a lot of repentance that went on and a lot of cleaning house. Because how do you get from being a group of people who are vying for position and first place, and I'm the better one and I'm the bigger one and I've done more miracles than you, to a place where you're in one accord? It makes a point of saying they were in one accord. That's there for a reason. They were a broken bunch, and Jesus had them wait 10 days. 10 is a number for testing. And they had to be obedient. And they weren't in a huge auditorium like this. If you see the upper room where they believe it happened, it was not a big room. I'm thinking, boy, different culture. I think it would stink after a while. But anyway, they were there, and they got healed, and they were in one accord. They came in out in unity. And I think one of the keys in all of this is unity, to walk together. Now, I have a testimony I want to share. First time I ever went back to Ghana as the director of the ministry, an assignment on me from the Lord to restore relationships. There were a lot of broken relationships in Ghana that came under the umbrella of Tishon Ministries. And so that was my first mandate when I went. And there was a couple there that had been brought over by Sharon, and they were Mennonite people, and they were farmers, and they came over to farm the property in Adidomi. But the property in Adidomi really isn't farmable. It's very poor land. And so they got hooked up with another pastor about 2 hours away, and the farmland was rich. Well, eventually they went over there. It caused broken relationships and a lot of hurt. And I heard about it from the board in Canada, how bad that was. So one of the things I said to Donna, I want to go see them. And when I met with them, I asked for forgiveness. And, you know, would they forgive us for the pain we caused them? And not understanding what God was doing in the middle of it. Anyway, yada, 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 on and on. Anyway, forgiveness was spoken, and a relationship began to happen. And I just said, you know, God release you, and I bless you in what he's called you to do. Well, the unity, the fact that there was healing between two ministries caused their ministry to explode beyond anything that you can even imagine. He got in touch with the Holy Spirit. He began to flow with the Holy Spirit. He put loudspeakers out from his church, which was sitting kind of up in the hill, and he'd build it for children's ministry. But at one point he said to Jack, I think I'm called to be a pastor. And I says, amen, brother, step into it. But he had these loudspeakers, and he played all the music, the Christian music we listened to, the latest, over the whole valley, every day, every day. And little by little, the family started coming. And he water baptized them, and he built a school, and he's got hundreds of kids in his school. But on top of that, what he started doing, he's gone into northern Ghana where the Muslims are. That is tough ground to plow. But he's a sent one. And so missionary teams come over. He takes them into those areas. He drills boreholes. People get fresh water. He ministers the gospel, Muslims. Next thing you know, they're getting saved. He builds a school. The kids start going to school. He equips those schools. Then he builds a church. He has done it over and over and over and over. Unity, forgiveness, healing, no breach. And someone just goes and begins to work in the call God had for them in the first place. Yay, God, it's right. It's amazing. I mean, I looked out on that room of children, and one of the last times I was there, and I thought, Lord, where did all these kids come from? Well, they were in the families down in the valley that were hearing Christian music every day. Praise God. Led of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. Sometimes I'll see pictures, and I just type, Jake, I can't believe what you're doing. It's absolutely amazing. Just keep going. So he will baptize us with fire. And he's passionate for the Lord and bold. So I'm just going to move along here a little bit. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm going to read it to you in the Passion Translation. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were speaking and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. The Aramaic can also be translated like the roar of a groaning spirit. So when that wind came in, it was the groan of a roaring spirit. This mighty wind is for power. The breath of Jesus breathed into his disciples. That was for life. And I think we get those two mixed up. Then there appeared to them divided tongues. In the TPT, or the Passion Translation footnotes, it says, this was the pillar of fire that led the Israelites from bondage into the promised land. The same pillar of fire manifested here to initiate a new beginning from dead religious structures into the powerful life of the Spirit. Each believer received an overpowering flame of fire, signified by the shaft of light that engulfed them. It was as though each one received his own personal pillar of fire that would empower him and lead him throughout his life. This was the promise Jesus gave to his disciples, the Redeemer, the one like me, who would be sent by the Father and never leave them. So when you and I are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we receive that same fire. And we can ask for it many times, over and over. When we read this scripture about the baptism of the Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we read it with a certain mindset. At that moment, the God of this age was bound, and the light of Christ pierced through the spiritual darkness over Jerusalem, where the crowds had crucified Jesus weeks earlier. Can you imagine the darkness that was sitting over Jerusalem? They had killed the Savior. I mean, everything from the pit of hell was probably there saying, ha ha, we won. But we know he didn't. But it says the Holy Spirit blew over the hearts of yielded people. The sound or the roar or the groaning released the atmosphere from heaven until the powers of darkness gave way to the glory of heaven. And so that wind came in and it so shifted the atmosphere over Jerusalem that the next thing we know is the disciples are praising God in unknown tongues. They don't know how to pray. They're so excited because they recognize that who had walked with them was now in them. They knew the presence of the Lord. They recognized what Jesus had said was true, that the promise would come to them and that he would be in them. They understood, but they also were so overwhelmed that they were drunk in the spirit. In fact, they were accused of being drunk in the natural. But when they walked out, the atmosphere over the city had shifted so much. They walk out and they're talking in tongues, but the tongues are languages of all the different people as they're hearing the gospel for the first time, right? I mean, isn't that amazing? When I go overseas, I pray, Lord, give me their tongues. Really? Give me their tongues. So when I talk in this tongues, you move. And they understand. Remember, Claude, I think you were with us. Yes, you were. We were in Cuba, and we couldn't speak Spanish. So what do you do when you got a room full of people that want prayer and there's only one interpreter? You pray in tongues. God moves powerfully. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, right? He rested on each one of them. It was glorious. And so it impacted that whole area. It's time for us to get hungry. Come on. It's time for us to get hungry. More hungry. Right? We need boldness, church. I need boldness. That's right. You answer at the right time. We need some dynamite, some dunamis power. That's what they received, was dunamis. And it was all their equipping. Well, if the Holy Spirit did that to them, why can't he do it to us? Right? He did, and he wants to increase it. But part of it is, we are the sent ones. We've got to go. Too long it's been all about us. Our mindset has to shift. It's about them. All right? It's about them. They were totally changed. I mean, the first day Peter preached, 3,000 came in. The next day, or the next time, 2,000 came in. I'd love to see that. There's lots of room in here. Oh, help, Holy Spirit. And so they preached, they're walking along, and I'm going to go through just a couple of testimonies, and I'm going to close. But the first one is at the Gate Beautiful. We all know the story. The guy that's healed, right? Gold and silver I don't have, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And they're called on the carpet. It's like, you can't do that. We thought we killed him, and now you're doing it. They're warned, don't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. What do? They go into the upper room and they pray. Lord, they've threatened us. Lord, we need more boldness. Most people go and hide, but no, we need more boldness, Holy Spirit, because we're going out again. And I'm reading through the book of Acts as I'm getting ready for this, and things are popping out at me, and I'm saying, Lord, they were fearless. You know? They get beaten. They go back again, and God begins to move more powerfully. Ananias and Sapphira show up and they want to lie a little bit and pollute the purity that's there in that day. Peter says, no, you don't. Shut it down right away. And then there was a godly fear that set in and people were brought from all over for healing. And they were again brought on the carpet. And this time they're beaten and don't speak in that name. He says, we're going to obey God and not man. They're standing in the synagogue preaching. And they're captured and brought, put in a prison. The angel of the Lord comes, opens the prison doors, says, go and stand in the synagogue and preach. The guards come down because they're going to be brought before the Sanhedrin again. They're not there. The guards are standing on guard to an empty prison. And they're preaching in the name of Jesus. Now, we're not there yet, but we need a little more oomph to get there, don't you think? I do. Maybe all of you are ready to do all this. I want to. How about you? If you're told you can't preach in the name of Jesus anymore, will you keep quiet? Or will there be enough boldness on you and I that we say, no, we're going to lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus. We're going to tell them about Jesus. So in Acts 14:8, Paul and Barnabas healed a man crippled from his mother's womb. Acts 6:5, and they chose Stephen, a man of faith and the Holy Spirit. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Now, some will say that everything stopped with the disciples. They multiplied themselves because the people they led to the Lord, they got empowered and equipped, and they went out and did the work of the ministry. They became sent ones. They didn't just go and sit in the church pew. Right? They did the work of the ministry. And I believe it's Dorman that said that this morning. I thought, well, you guys are preaching part of my message. Good. Always good confirmation, right? We have to go. Acts 8:5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now he was chosen as one of the seven, both Stephen and him, to wait on tables. Well, we don't serve when we're big shots, right? No, they waited on tables and they did miracles and signs and wonders and all that stuff when they weren't waiting on tables and maybe when they were. Anyway, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For the unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many were paralyzed and lame and were healed. And there was great joy in that city. There would be, wouldn't there? Can you imagine if you and I, and there's a lot of people starting to work in the downtown core, it's increasing. I praise God for that. But what if there was such a baptism of the Holy Spirit that we didn't just give cold water and some blankets to the drug addicts and the street people, but we laid hands on them and they got healed and delivered from that stuff? How would the city of Windsor feel then if all these people who maybe at one time had a career, studied, went to university, but got hit on fell on hard times and in depression, and someone offers them a first, what they think, freedom, and they go into drugs. But then we come along, the church comes along and says, no, we've got a better drug for you, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? And they get healed, and they get restored. Why not? Would be great. Peter, when he prayed for the little girl who was dead, Tabitha, get up, Acts 9:40. Acts 10:9, we have the account of the Holy Spirit sending Peter to the Gentiles. Talk about being led. Everything in Peter resisted the vision he had in the trance. So we have to realize religion wanted to stop what God was about to do because he was steeped in the old covenant. And they didn't eat with Gentiles. They didn't eat certain foods because under the old covenant, they had been forbidden. Yet here he is in this trance. He sees all these this blanket filled with all the foods that he was not allowed to eat. And the Holy Spirit says to him, Peter, eat. He says, not so, Lord. But God was trying to make a point. The point was, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. They're forbidden to you too. And someone's going to come to the door. And you're going to go to Cornelius's house. You talk about being Holy Spirit led. You're going to go here and you're going to go there. And he's talking to Cornelius and saying, a man by the name of Peter is going to come to your house. Gather everybody. And there's all this family there. And Peter realizes God wants them to find Jesus too. And as he's teaching, before he even gets very far, the Holy Spirit drops in the room. And they're all praying in tongues and being filled. He says, well, I guess we better baptize them too, right? God doesn't necessarily follow the order we think. He's got different ways. But what fun. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't church be better that way? We come in here on a Sunday morning with testimonies like we heard today. I know, Tammy, you have some. You shared them at our Thrive group about people are just opening up and wanting prayer as she goes out and does business. Why not? there was such an excitement in the room she was sharing. It's like, yes, Lord. And then we hear you and we hear what's happening with Zach. And it's like, Lord, stir our faith that we want this, right? That we go forward with this. The last example is Acts 8:26, and that's Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. He's first spoken to by an angel to leave Samaria and go to the desert. Now, you have to have good discernment when you can discern whether it's an angel or it's the Holy Spirit or who is it that's talking to you. And there was a great revival going on in Samaria, by the way. And I'm sure Philip said, I'd rather stay here. There's a revival here. You want me to go where? To the desert. I'm sure that Philip had some questions, but Philip obediently follows. Then it is the Holy Spirit that speaks to him and gives him clear direction. Once in the desert, the Holy Spirit says to him, overtake this chariot, Acts 8:29. Why is this encounter so significant? Because of his authority and influence, the Ethiopian's salvation was the beginning of the gospel's advancement in his nation. One of the key people in the gospel spread there. If Philip had not been sensitive to the Spirit's leading, he would have missed a great opportunity for ministry. Lost my place. Philip knew the voice of the Holy Spirit so clearly that he knew when it was an angel the difference. Lord, help me. I want that. The early church walked in incredible sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was everything for them. Everything. That's how the early church grew. It was the presence of the Lord, the presence of the Father, the Son, with them in the form of the Holy Spirit. We have that same Holy Spirit. We have to come to understand how he functions. And we need to be praying for boldness. And we need to go out filled. And if we haven't had a chance, if we're driving somewhere, pray in tongues and worship. So that when we come out of our cars into whatever atmosphere we walk in, we can make an impact. Be it with a greeting, be it the Lord open the door for healing, be it with a word of encouragement to a teller. But we're sent once, and it's time. Something has shifted so strongly, and you hear it everywhere. It's time for us. This is a quote from Bill Johnson. During revival, hell is plundered and heaven is populated. Without revival, hell is populated, period. And he titles it, The High Cost of Low Power. The high cost of low power. So as long as we just are comfortable with what we have and it's kept to ourselves, hell is being plundered. Yes. We need to have impact and fill heaven, right? And hell needs to be emptied out. Well, you know what I mean. People can't go there. Said that wrong. So let's release hope daily. Pursue one yearly. But we can pursue much more than one. Any evangelist in here will bring a whole lot more than one in. But we're all evangelist church, me too. And I'm crying out for boldness. And so I encourage you to do the same. So I want to close just by asking the Holy Spirit to come again. Would you just lift your hands up? Holy Spirit, we just need you. We need a boldness in this day like we have never known. A boldness, Lord, to speak to our neighbors. A boldness, Lord, to speak to whoever you place in front of us. A boldness to share who you are. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us with your fire today? Holy Spirit, we need more. We need more. I understand more and more why Toronto would say, more, Lord, more, Lord. We just need more, Lord. That became their key phrase. We need more, Lord. Lord, stir up all the impartations we've received over the years. Stir them up. Stir up the prophetic words in us. Stir up the visions and the dreams we've had, Holy Spirit. Stir us out of our lethargy, Holy Spirit. I think of the prophetic words that are released in this house by Cobus of what this is going to look like. Father, stir the waters in here once again. Holy Spirit, come and just flood us this morning. We just need more of you, Holy Spirit. Don't let us go to sleep in this hour. Help us to be so alert, Holy Spirit, so alert to you, so in tune with you that we know your moods and we know when we've shifted out of position because, Lord, we just feel that shift. We know when we've shut you down and we've quenched you. We know, Holy Spirit, when we've said things that are a grief in your heart. Holy Spirit, we want to know you. We want to be filled with more of you. We want to see when you're moving, when the Father's moving, so that you can reveal it to us and we can do like Jesus did, exactly what the Father's doing and say what the Father's saying. It's our portion. The early church understood it. They moved in it. Lord, help us. Help us, Holy Spirit, in this hour. We want to be a pillar of fire in this community, corporately and individually, Father. So, Holy Spirit, we just thank you for meeting that in us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.